And now, NAI Pop presents a unique show where two dads talk about the topics that interest them: sports, wrestling, and a splash of pop culture information to help them survive in a world of wives and kids. Now, please welcome your hosts, professional wrestler and new dad, Scotty Slade, and retired executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski. Welcome to For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network.
For the Pops on the For the Pops Network. I am Scotty Slade, and as always, I am joined by the entrepreneur, the Vince McMahon of New England, Jamie.
Yeah, that's
Jamie
me, Cos- right? Wait, I'm the Vince McMahon of New England.
You're the new Vince McMahon. You're like the...
Cody Rhodes, settle down.
Oh, so this is a special bonus episode of For the Pops. I can't stress it enough. This is chock full of spoilers. So if by some chance you have not watched the last and final episode of Game of Thrones, please download it, press pause, put this episode on hold, and follow back after you've seen it, because this is episode 38.5 on the For the Pops Network. Jamie, that was actually like a good intro. I could have just cut it off right there.
That was good. Thank God we have a good editor, huh?
So, Jamie, we've got Brian Fury here. We had Brian on when we talked about episode 5. It went back and forth a little bit. Our episode, what was episode 5?
Three.
Wow. Wow. I'm sorry. All of our text conversations are starting to blend together. For those that don't know, every Monday morning after the episode, the chat room between myself, the text group between myself, Jamie, and Brian seems to light up like a Christmas tree, generally with conflicting perceptions of the show.
And then it goes quiet for a little while, and it fires up again on Monday night when we calm down a little bit, and then we get all fired up again.
Yep, just like little kids, somebody pokes the other one by accident, and suddenly it's a full blown fist fight. But we're done, Jamie and Brian. We're done.
Our watch has ended.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, Jamie, I don't know exactly who you want to kick it to first, but I know going into this, we had finished up our last episode where we talked about episode 5 and how we thought the season was kind of going fast paced. We were
a very biased, ridiculous, one-sided episode where Jamie went off the rails.
You know what? I'm going to be honest.
Acted like a child.
If it was somebody other than Scott, I think Jamie would have gotten belligerent because I was nervous.
He's spewing his nonsense again. He's crying like a little baby because he didn't get his way with this character.
That's not true. And tonight, as we chat, you'll actually hear how I think they could have done this better.
Oh, Jesus.
So, Jamie.
Yes.
We end talking about episode 5. It starts off on the final episode.
What a great episode 5 was, too. Coming into episode 6 on a high note.
We're ringing the bells, Brian. Just let us put our swords down. And so the episode starts off with Tyrion Lannister sort of mixing back and forth between his perception of what's going on and like a third-person perspective and seeing the carnage that was laid down by Dany.
How about that one random guy just walking the other way that was all bloody?
You know what I was wondering? Like, I don't know if you saw it from in the recaps of episode 5, but I guess one of the soldiers who got tortured, I think it was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he was in there.
And I was wondering if like it was going to come out today that like the random half dead guy wandering by was like, you know, Julian Edelman, Zdeno Chara just wandering by.
Earlier in the season, you see a guy get shot from the back of the head through his eye with an arrow, and that was actually Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, there's an article somewhere, Jim, maybe we should post that on our Twitter feed, of like just random people that they've gotten to play extras on Game of Thrones.
Right. I know when they did the when the dragon attacked the supply line, there was a major league pitcher in the middle of that too. I forget which one.
Hopefully not John Rocker.
But continue with last night's episode.
So
when Daenerys killed a whole bunch of people? Okay.
Yeah.
way back then.
So with Tyrion is seeing all the carnage. He wants to go and walk on his own. Jon Snow decides to continue forward towards the keep. Yes.
I just can't wait to talk about Jon Snow more.
Comes across, and there is some warriors that have laid down their swords, and Grey Worm is there with the Unsullied, and they're about to execute them in the streets. Creates sort of some tension. And here's a question that I have, and I'll finish this scene, that he's been instructed to kill all that followed Cersei. Now, my question for you guys, because I asked this at work, the timeline I'm having a hard time following, because Game of Thrones seems to have had like an accelerated travel time, so this may have just been an oversight. But did that indicate that the orders were given pre-battle? Or do you think that there was stuff off-screen that was discussed?
No, I have a lot of unanswered questions about timelines and passages of time in this episode, Scotty Slade.
Well, because that's later on. I think this was all pre-battle. This was all planned ahead of time.
Well, so
all of her actions in episode 5 were planned ahead of time. It wasn't like a spur of the moment thing.
That's not what the writer said.
Right, and that's what threw me off, because the writer said post episode 5, they're like, she saw the Red Keep, she got caught up in the moment. She at that point realized it's personal. And so I'm like, okay, this is the angle they're going with. And then I saw this, and somebody
not only that, but everything that she says in this episode.
Not true.
So,
not true.
Oh my god.
I feel the walls getting closer and it's making me uncomfortable. So there was that. So there was a quick standoff. Jon Snow not wanting that these men to be executed, ultimately ended up getting executed anyway. Fast forward.
Tyrion, I kind of enjoy, real quick, the regression of Grey Worm back to just being an Unsullied, like, guy with no feelings whatsoever, just killing. Like, it was an interesting regression for him.
I agree with you. I actually think, note that Brian Fear and I are agreeing for the first time tonight.
This sounds like a counseling session.
I actually think that Grey Worm was actually one of the more interesting characters in the last episode.
Hopefully we'll find out more about that. And so where it leads is to my biggest point about the whole episode. So then we follow Tyrion, and he kind of goes where he told Jaime to leave and ultimately discovers his body. And watching this episode as a whole, and I'm probably going to jump around at this point, so I apologize. But watching this episode as a whole, I feel that they use Tyrion Lannister as the vessel to tie up this entire episode, to pull all of these pieces together. And I felt that the walkthrough, finding Jaime, having that moment where he finally like breaks down, leading to him throwing away the sigil to no longer be the Hand, that was Tyrion's story arc of where he's gone and where he's come. And fast forwarding to when he talked with Jon Snow and when he talked to the council, I felt that was almost from a viewer's perspective, a chance to, as a viewer, that's the voice I've been yelling at the TV, and now I'm getting to see it come to life through the words of Tyrion Lannister. I thought Tyrion was amazing from start to finish in this episode. I don't know if they could have done it any other way, and I loved what they did with Tyrion throughout this episode.
Tyrion was by far the best part of this episode. and Fury, to your point, when he's talking to Jon Snow, when Jon Snow goes to visit him down in the cell, and he goes on his whole thing about Dany and why Jon should eventually do what Jon does. I agree with you, Slade. He was talking directly to the viewers. He was trying to paint the Brian Fury picture of, here's what she did, and we believed in her. She did this, but it was okay because they were evil, but now it's not okay anymore. So he was the one who they used to literally explain to the audience, here's why she did what she did, and here's why you're not supposed to like her anymore.
Yeah, and she felt that way all along, like she said in her speech, and then when she talks with John later on, like, it's all gone to her head. Like, she thinks the ultimate villains, the best villains, are the ones that truly believe that what they're doing, whether it's right or wrong, is for the better good. Much like Thanos, he thought it was for the good to kill half the population. She thinks it's for the good, and that's what makes her the ultimate villain. It was planned all along. That's what she'd wanted to do all along.
And I'm gonna say this, Fury. See, when do I jump in with my? All right, good. Keep going, Slade.
So from here, what I'm gonna try to do is I really want to get to that point where we set that ball rolling, and we kind of talk about how I thought Tyrion was the lead in this whole episode.
Hold on. Are you just gonna gloss over?
No.
One of the greatest entrances.
No.
The whole episode.
No. So I think the best way to approach this is we can go through the character lines, and next what I wanted to talk about was Dany. So,
well,
greatest entrance in history.
Tyrion to Dany? We're not talking about Jon yet? Or are we talking about him later?
Let's save douchebag Jon Snow for later.
Yeah, Jon will follow Dany. So,
okay.
So that Tyrion piece happens. So to lead up to once he finds Cersei and Jaime and he has that scene, he finally decides to go to the top of the stairwell where we see Dany make probably one of the best, as Jaime put it, grandest entrances of them all.
Oh, it was amazing.
Awesome.
That one shot of her walking and the dragon behind her and the dragon's wings open up was so fucking awesome. I sent you guys that gift that earlier.
Yeah, and I've probably copied and pasted that to about 10 people today, Fury.
So good.
And so she stands in front of her army, which seemed very – it's funny. As the episodes have gone on, it seems that army just got more and more healthy. It was just like – I don't mean like sick-wise. I'm just meaning like size-wise. They just looked bigger and bigger. But she made this –
It was definitely more Dothraki than I remember. The Unsullied, I think it was still that many. But, yeah, definitely seemed like it was more Dothraki than I remember.
And she makes this very tyrannical speech.
You're using all the big words today. Vessel, tyrannical.
Wow. Yeah. So she made this very, like, tyrannical speech. And as Tyrion hinted towards Jon, she did not come off as somebody where the war was over. She presented this picture, and she named a lot of places that, as Game of Thrones viewers, we have not seen yet. I guess maybe these places have been touched in the book, which I can't speak for.
Well, some we had heard of, some we hadn't, because we had heard of Winterfell, Dorne.
She named Southeros, to my knowledge. But anyway, she names all these places about how she wants to break the wheel and liberate the entire world.
Yeah, she had said break the wheel prior. And her speech was kind of similar to the speeches she did when she burned all the Dothraki, when she took the Unsullied and stuff. It was kind of like bits and pieces of all those speeches that she's previously done combined. You're just forced to look at her and what she says in a different light now.
Yep.
And if you go back and rewatch the show, I guarantee you'll look at her in a different light throughout.
Jamie, you agree with that?
I thought her speech on the finale was amazing. I think what they did with her, where they got her, could have been amazing. That whole thing, not to get too historical, but that whole, like, tyrannical Hitler-like imagery they had.
Oh, with the giant Targaryen flag? That
was the only thing I said. I did turn to Cheryl as we're watching. I said, where'd they get the banner so quick? But regardless, but yeah, with that big banner hanging and the way the Unsullied were doing the thing when we originally saw them, banging of their staffs, in unison as she was speaking, it was all, and even the colors, you know, we talked about her entrance. Yeah, they were dragon wings. She looked like the devil walking out with big devil wings. It was awesome.
Yeah, very, very prolific with the statements earlier in other seasons where it's not to wake the dragon inside, and here we are.
Yeah, that was more her brother than her, but yes. It was an amazing long-term build that paid off. You're correct. Thank you, Jamie.
And so now to hit...
Wait, can I jump in now? Can I jump in on something?
Is this where you want to go?
Well, because here's my... Look, I want to go on record. We should have started with, did you like the episode or not?
I'm under the impression that we all enjoyed the episode.
I enjoyed it.
I loved it. Okay. I loved it.
You know what my only regret on it, and this is, and I don't want to keep beating this to death in the entire time we chat tonight, but it's like my main point on that finale. I wish that finale was 1 year later, and we actually got to see Dany the Tyrant for a full season. My whole problem with the episode last night was how rushed and how packed and the time jumps and the time discrepancies that kind of went by. I like, Fury, you and I have been getting into it for over a week now about the Danny heel turn. I still think it was sudden. I think it was sudden knowing it was all going to wrap up last night. I thought the resolution of it all last night was still very rushed and sudden. But if you put last night's episode at the end of season 9, and we got 5 episodes of her, you know, sending the Dothraki out on raids, you know, quote unquote, liberating another city somewhere along the way, where all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, no, she's just taking them over. She's not liberating anymore. Then I think we could have gotten to where we got last night a lot better than they did. That's my only complaint about the whole thing. But in terms of them flipping the switch and making her the main heel, it was awesome last night. I just wanted to see more of that.
So I personally like that she didn't get to sit on the throne and didn't get to actually fulfill any of the stuff that she wanted to do. To me, that was more that was the bigger story of it all. That it kind of fulfilled her vision that she had much earlier in the show. It was great that she wasn't able to, you know, put more evil ways out into the world, because there's already been more than enough over these, you know, the course of the last however many seasons and however many years that would be.
I'm still arguing it wasn't evil.
Of course.
It was from a particular point of view to achieve a goal.
Sure.
I don't think she was evil.
So,
of course you felt. And then you listen to everything that she says, and the people don't get to decide what is good or not. Like, what is wrong with you?
So after she gives his speech, at least
Scotty's just flying through it, glossing.
No,
over
I'm not.
It all.
I'm not. No. So the piece that this was the first moment in the episode that my heart, so to speak, froze. Like that, my first, like, outside of this entrance, right, where I was like, whoa, right. The first time I held my breath was after she gave that speech. Tyrion goes up to her and she leans over and says, "You freed your brother. That's treason." Mm-hmm. And he basically looks at her and goes, "Yes, I helped my brother escape, and you slaughtered his city for it." And he takes off the sigil and he throws it down the stairs. That was the first moment of the episode that I not frozen place, but you know what I mean by that, that the tense feeling just came over me immensely, because at this point all bets are off. You don't know who's going to live, who's going to die, and she clearly needed to make an example out of him, which ultimately she ended up having him taken away and put as a prisoner, which led to later scenes in the episode.
That's right. She showed mercy.
Oh man, Jamie, we started agreeing at the beginning.
She showed mercy.
You're a lunatic.
She could have had Drogon fry him right there, but she just locked him up for now.
You don't actually believe that. Stop it. You are trolling beyond belief.
Okay, that time I was trolling Brian Fury.
Okay, no. All right.
You were.
And so then Batman showed up. I mean, Arya Stark,
the greatest assassin in the world.
How amazing
so awesome.
Was it?
When she just showed up, I thought it was so awesome.
Yes. Yep.
Just pan over and, oh, there you are.
There she is.
Oh. Hello. Which was like step one of planting the seed to Jon. Because this is Arya telling Jon that she can't be the queen.
Okay, can we talk about Jon yet? And can I say it now rather than wait?
We're about to get to John. I mean, you're more than welcome. The next scene is pretty much the opening the door to John.
How fucking stupid is Jon Snow, where he needs all these people to tell him that she's not the right person to be queen? How does he not understand that? How is he still blindly following her? When he had that conversation with Tyrion, I was like, what is wrong with you?
It's a Ned Stark level of loyalty.
He's an idiot. Complete idiot. Full circle. Like, yeah, granted, like, we'll get to what happens at the end with him. But full circle, yeah. He was an idiot the entire show, the entire time. They've never made a correct decision the entire way through.
But then Fury, I
people love them for some reason.
Fury, I can also counter that with he's also an idiot from my perspective. Because here it is, she does all this stuff. She's still my queen. Then one speech from Tyrion. Okay. Then he flips again. He sucks from every perspective. He's awful.
See, I don't know if it was 100% that speech.
I thought it was the last line, but that's just me.
I think it was when he talked to her and she said, the people don't get to decide what's good or not. I think that is what actually finally pushed him over the edge.
Again, he sucks.
Well,
he's terrible.
The sucks sucking, at every level. The sucking Jon Snow had what I thought was one of the cooler scenes that was kind of like a throwaway, so to speak.
When Nikki's on the couch next to me right now, like angry at me, shaking, wagging her finger because she loves Jon Snow.
Well, when Jon's walking to talk to...
I don't know why either.
When Jon's walking to go talk to Dany, that scene where out from under the snow...
Oh, that was awesome.
That was amazing.
Yeah. It was a scene that didn't need to happen, but it was tremendous. Just the waking up out of nowhere, brief stare down to see who's coming. Oh, it's you. Goes back to sleep.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was really awesome. Because it didn't just look like, you know, piles of rubble underneath some of the ash and snow.
It was fantastic. And now comes the piece that...
Blah, blah, blah. Moving on.
Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. This was the scene that I think I agree more with Brian than you that we've kind of gone back and forth on. So this is where Dany is finally in the throne room. She's standing in front of the Iron Throne. She gets to the point that she's finally able to touch it, which is...
She actually got to touch it, yeah, which was good because she didn't get to in her vision.
Right. Which actually, according to her, that was actually the last scene they filmed. That was the last scene that she filmed for this show, was that scene of her touching the throne. So she touches the throne. She turns around. Jon Snow enters. She doesn't get to sit on the throne. And instantly, Dany's just drinking her own Kool-Aid, so to speak. Just very happy with the outcome. Still trying to win over Jon Snow. At this point, are you guys both assuming that this is where it happens?
Yeah, you knew it was happening there.
I've had a feeling something was going to happen, but I wasn't sure exactly what. And then the way they filmed it and did it, it was fantastic because you weren't sure exactly who either,
stabbed
right away.
Yes. And so that was a huge argument that I got in with some people because when they finally embrace, they kiss. We'll go back to the speech. But when they finally embrace and kiss and there's that split second where both of them have a similar face – you could realistically make an argument on why it could have went either way. She's been in fear of John this whole time. So at least for me, there was a fraction where I thought she stabbed him. Am I alone in this one, Jamie?
No, I really wasn't sure. You had to kind of wait for it to play out to actually see which one was.
You are correct in everything you've said, the way they shot it, the way the reactions were. I went into it assuming she was dying.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I was assuming she was dying too, but I didn't know if that was going to be how or if he was dying too.
No, we couldn't be so lucky.
But yes, the interaction, and I don't think I'm alone in this. I've never really bought into these two as like, do you know, like when you see Tyrion and Jaime in scenes, they have such good chemistry together, like you get sucked into their dialogue. I never bought into Dany and Jon for whatever reason, but I really thought that they hit this particular interaction where Jon tried to convince her to forgive Tyrion. Wasn't going to happen. She was still going with the join me, let's break the wheel, which ultimately led to the line, "You'll always be my queen."
That was his only line all season.
Pretty much.
Dude takes close to 2 years off to memorize one line.
It was really well done. The what happened next kind of made me question, and I guess maybe I'm just supposed to assume, but I did not realize, or at least unless it's coincidental, when Drogon. Drogon.
Thank you.
When
you're saying dragon, really weird.
I know. When Drogon ultimately comes over like a lost puppy.
Oh, when he nudged her.
It wasn't as emotionally rough as it was for like Ricky.
That's because you have no heart and no soul, Scotty Slade.
No,
it wasn't emotionally rough for me. I was just, all I kept saying was, he's going to try to burn John, and John.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen too.
Yeah. And so watching that happen, all I'm thinking is like, this is usually that scene where it's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And then it's just 0 to 100,
yeah,
lose the mind. And I didn't know where it was going to be directed to. But when he burned the Iron Throne and completely melted it, the question is, are these dragons smart enough to comprehend that he knew what he was doing, or was it just coincidence? That's the direction he burned in.
From what I've read today online, that's one of the biggest. That's one we're starting to get some of the bigger backlashes on this episode for the people who didn't like it.
Or was it Bran?
Oh, stop! don't get me started on Bran the Broken yet. Anyway. A lot of people are really questioning, you know, that this guy just killed your mother. There's only one guy in the room. You know who did it. And you choose to turn and burn an inanimate object in the corner.
Yeah.
Now, let's say Jon Snow can't burn. He can still get bitten in half, can he?
Yeah. Sure. You make a good point. All these were going through my head because the burning came into mind, right? And I'm like, oh, he's not going to try to burn him because he can't be burned. So I assumed, would he bite him? Would he eat him? Like, is that where we're going to go with this? Like, is this how Jon goes out?
Maybe dragons don't take out Targaryens.
Maybe.
Or Slade, you made a good point. Maybe they are more intelligent and sentient than we thought.
Which, if they are... Like, it was that split second where they like locked eyes, and when he turned to the throne, that I looked at the dragon as more human than a beast. And it was like a wild moment for me, that like thinking that this whole time that these creatures were smart enough, which then looking back on everything put such a immense amount of weight on all of these deaths that happened with their counterparts. And I understand the animals feel for each other, don't get me wrong. But if that dragon is understanding that all of this was for that throne, and he was mad at the concept that throne brought him to this point, then all of those dragon deaths are a million times more depressing because they're fully understanding what's going on.
I thought they were depressing the first time around, Scotty Slade.
Okay.
yeah, they're animals. I don't know. She's not a
stop
mother.
Stop it. All right. Now, who's trolling?
Look, I've yelled to you 100 times. Stop saying like, oh, that's their mother, blah, blah, blah. She didn't give birth to these fucking things, okay?
Literally, for 10 years, mother of dragons.
Yes, that's her name. It's her nickname. She's not actually their mother. That's like saying, oh, I have a dog. I'm its father. No, I'm its owner.
That's like saying that someone's a firebrand, you know what I mean? But I digress. So far, we're all in agreement. There hasn't been any, like, outside of the discussions we've talked about, any major plot holes that you've had so far?
Oh, I've had a ton, but that's okay.
Because one of the
plots... You had a ton because they all made perfect sense, and she, you know, put out there why she did everything she did all along, and Jaime just can't live with it, so he's going to cry about it.
That's not true.
So
that's literally not true. I actually said the only statement I've made tonight was, I think things move too quickly, and we're about to hit the first one I'm calling a time gap or gap in the story.
So because we're about halfway through at this point, I want to bring up two things I noticed that really rubbed me the wrong way, and they're minute, and you guys can yell at me. One, when they show Arya, the white horse is gone. I don't know what the white horse.
I thought about that too. I was like, yeah, that kind of bummed me out too. I don't bum me out, but I was like, yeah, that's weird. I don't get it. Whatever.
The second one is Jon Snow and Grey Worm have this standoff. And ultimately, Jon Snow walks away as Grey Worm is slicing throats of the enemy. Change scenes, Jon's walking up the stairs, and Grey Worm is somehow at the top of the stairs well before Jon Snow.
Well, like time has just passed. It's not like he walked directly there.
That car's that's where he was going. That's literally where he was going. He was walking in that direction. But he stopped somewhere?
Slade, I agree with you. I think the biggest problem I had with the episode was the time jumps, passages of time, and again, Brian, you can get mad at me all you want. The Game of Thrones episodes and seasons that I loved, things played out in longer time. Like, things would happen, and like, how long did we wait for Robb Stark to finally do something? You know, he wandered around, and finally they got him to where they needed him to be. But it took a while. Last night, everything was just boom, 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 boom.
And the last just, two seasons like, hold have been on, like wait, that. Wait, so I've just come to accept that's how things are going to be.
But yeah, but that doesn't mean – so then what I have to do is sit here and blindly say, all right, I accept how it is, and I can't say that I didn't like the other way more?
I'm not saying that. But you're saying Cersei's – not Cersei. Daenerys' heel turn was out of nowhere, and it was not. It was clearly planned out for the last five fucking seasons.
It wasn't. You're so wrong.
You couldn't be any more wrong on this.
Guys, we got one more big
literally, the writer said she made the call at that moment. The guys who wrote it, so they're wrong. The guys who wrote it said she looked at the Red Keep and snapped. So they're wrong too.
Sure.
Good for you. Good for you. At least you're standing by what you said.
Sure, Jamie. Considering this whole episode, they talked about all the stuff that she had done leading up to this. That's how she is as a person. That's how she's always been. And then you keep saying this, oh, I wish something had happened to her to really make her snap. Oh, I don't know. 10 things happening to her over the course of like 2 episodes wasn't enough to make her snap?
Well, no, not to the point.
Hold on, hold on.
Not to the point they had her snap. And at least last night we finally got an explanation on it.
And the way that the explanation was done, at least to my understanding, listening to Tyrion describe it, it sounded as if she uncomfortably blurred the lines because in her head, every time she's taken down evil people, she's been revered. What Jamie's trying to say is, even with those blurred lines, there's the killing of women and children doesn't fit the scheme. So it's trying to figure out where that jump happened.
Last night, Fury, I will say, her giving the order to murder any soldiers that had been loyal. Fine. That fit into what she had done prior. You will never, ever, ever, ever convince me that they gave you enough for her to absolutely torch a city.
She even talked about it in that talk with Jon Snow when he brought it up.
And that's what I said. Last night was the first time we got an explanation on it. That it was they were at war. That's basically her explanation, correct?
Pretty much.
They were at war.
They had free choice and they chose. That was kind of her direction. So with all of this happening, they kind of jump ahead. The only way to really tell that they jumped ahead a few weeks is
only two people still like Daenerys, Jon Snow and Jaime.
You live in a bubble, don't you?
Maybe everybody's on the right side of the fence on who was picked as king, and then we can go back to the Danny argument.
All right, that's just we don't need to go back to Danny argument because I was talking to a brick wall.
I know, and I'm tired of doing it. So,
overall, at least from my perspective, I love the fact that Danny didn't get to sit on the throne. I loved how it happened. The only thing that bugs me is the conceptual build up in our heads that it was going to be something more. So I allowed fan theories to creep in, even though I tried to avoid them. There's a lot of stuff from the books, which I tried to avoid that like were hinted that were going to happen in future books, that didn't happen in this death scene. So, trying to separate those two was tough, but I was able to do it.
So I will again go back and say the entire first half of this episode, I really would have liked it a year from now if we could have seen tyrannical Danny for another season.
Okay. Noted.
And I will say again, yes, the show has been rushed, but it's been rushed for the past two seasons. So I just kind of have learned to accept that's the way things are now. Like, Euron being out in the middle of the ocean, and the next scene, he's, you know, in the Red Keep with Cersei and stuff. Like, that's just how it is now. Okay, I can complain and cry about all I want, because they could have gotten two seasons out of that alone earlier in the show. It's just different now.
I disagree. What you and the people want doesn't matter. I'll tell you what you want, or just make you see it my way.
You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice.
We'll make that choice for you.
Are we getting to the new king yet?
We are. Jesus. We are. So weeks go by, which is only represented by the scruffiness of Tyrion's beard. And we get to see this cast of characters. We also get to learn that breast milk makes you grow about an extra foot in a matter of a couple of years. Because that kid got big. Let me tell you, Scotty, get on it. Yeah, you ain't kidding. I paused it and told my wife. I was like, apparently if I need to grow, this is what we got to do.
Good Lord.
But so this council happens, and I thought, again, like I said before, Tyrion gave a great speech. My
only problem is, like, why are they letting, like, this prisoner who's up there to decide his fate be the guy, like,
so,
giving this big long speech?
To be fair, though, Brian, I think to for us to be at the point that we actually enjoyed the episode more than a lot of people did, you really did have to hang up your logic hat when you walked in the door last night.
Well, no.
There were a lot of things that made no sense.
I was okay with – so his argument – my argument to that is the people that he was talking to, all of them have a very level of respect for what Tyrion Lannister brings to the table.
Yeah, like, the kid that tried to throw him through the moon door really has a lot of respect for him.
Okay. Maybe not the moon door. But but my point being is his mind is well respected in the kingdoms, regardless of for what he did. They all understand what he did.
But hold on, Slade. Here, let me talk about hanging my logic hat up on the door for a minute. All
right.
When I walked in, like I said, another time jump. It's weeks later. Why is he still alive?
Because Danny's dead.
Okay, but we've got Grey Worm there, who's now pissed off Grey Worm. This is my, again, goes back to my challenge with this, that it was all so rushed.
Yeah.
Where was the reaction of, look, the queen just died. You've got a ton of Dothraki and Unsullies who are loyal to her. We've got the guy who killed her and the guy who betrayed her locked up. Wouldn't they have killed them both immediately? What repercussion is there? There's nobody in charge.
Maybe, and I think that was a point that we'd get to towards the end of, like, different types of plot holes. One being the weird transition from the death scene to this, and not seeing how John was apprehended, like what transpired.
Because Brian, you know, he wasn't smart enough to run, right?
He told him exactly what he did. I guarantee it.
What a jackass! God, I hate him. I really do.
One scene.
I'm an honest man. I stabbed Daenerys in the stomach.
One scene in this council meeting that really gave me douche chills was the proposition of letting the people decide and everybody pausing and laughing.
Why did that give me douche chills?
I understood that Sam was trying to present a democracy.
Yep.
It just came off funny to me. Like, that nobody was taking him serious. It seemed out of place. Much like another scene that Sam had, which we'll get to, that also was weird and I strongly hated. But so ultimately, sorry, fast forward.
I really enjoyed that fact that he brought up the democracy thing and they all kind of laughed at him.
Not only did they laugh? God.
Yeah, it's not like a thing that, like, to us, okay, that sounds normal and, like, that's been theory for some people, blah, blah, blah. But that's, like, in Westeros, that's, like, ludicrous. Like, what are you talking about? No. Like, no. And it's kind of a democracy because the heads of the houses are the ones that kind of get, like, a little vote. But, yeah, it's – I don't understand why you hated that so much.
Maybe it was just because it was him, similar to how Cersei told what's-his-face to sit down.
Sansa?
Yeah, Sansa, that too. So were you guys happy with who was chosen as king?
I think it made the most sense out of anybody that could possibly be king. To, you know, if
most
they're
sense
gonna,
or
if,
safest
if,
bet.
Well, yeah, safest bet slash most sense. I think if these people are deciding, that's the person that is going to do what is best for the realm.
Jamie, did you feel the same way?
Actually, from Brian, the way Brian Fury just presented it, I agree with the statement that based on the cards that have been dealt to that point and the people on that council in the Dragon Pit, yes, he made the most sense. Now, if you're asking me as a fan watching the show for a decade, did I like the choice? No.
Who would you like to have seen? Your original bet or?
My original bet would have been nice. I think Sansa would have been good.
So I'm going to stop you there because that was that was an issue I had with this. I'm fine that they chose Bran. I understood Tyrion did a great job doing a sales pitch to the audience on why Bran's the guy. But to me, the two big issues was when he asked Bran if he was up for it or something along those lines. And he goes, why do you think I made this trip? Also hinted that Bran does have the ability to see into the future, which we are still unsure of exactly what this kid knows and can do, which was a little irritating. And two, Sansa has shown such great interest in ruling that for her to, which
has
I...
Has she, though? Early on when she was a child, she did.
Right.
I thought that stare down with her and Dany this season also indicated that she was also going to be gunning for leadership.
I think that's kind of what we thought, but I think she just didn't like her or trust her at all due to everything that she's been through. I don't think she really likes or trusts anybody at this point. That girl's been through more than anybody else on the show.
I agree. I think she's the most natural-born leader. My question to you guys is, if Bran wasn't selected, does Sansa making this statement of the North staying independent and being the queen of the North, does that get any pushback if anybody else takes the throne? Or because it's Bran, it's fine?
Yeah, exactly. You are correct. Anybody else takes that throne, it's a problem.
And this is where I started to question, was this written this way to be this babyface finish? Like,
yeah.
Again, maybe once Martin finishes the book, we'll see if that's what he intended. But
just
this
like,
particular
just like
moment.
Said, though, it was bittersweet, like they said.
But I didn't get bittersweet out of that decision.
I actually, my big problem with the last episode, and again, I liked it, but my biggest challenge with it was still, I thought it was a little bit too wrapped up in a pretty bow.
Yeah, everybody won.
Everybody won except for one person.
Danny.
But seriously, it was. And one thing about Game of Thrones was nothing ever got a pretty little bow. Like, I don't mind Danny dying. I don't mind Bran getting the throne because if you look at it, really, him getting pushed out the window set all this in motion, set this entire series into motion.
That's why he's so, Bran the Broken.
Bran the Broken. But here's my other question when I talk about leave my logic hat at the door. So, Dany dies, right? Now, apparently weeks go by. Why is there a big discussion about who the next ruler should be? Wasn't there this big, long, drawn-out thing that there's technically an heir to the throne? Isn't Jon Snow king by definition?
Yes.
That was the whole thing. They shoved it down our throats. He's a Targaryen. He's a Targaryen. He's a Targaryen. He has the better claim on the throne than Dany. He sure in hell does now because she's dead. You look at the past. Kings are allowed to kill other kings to take the throne.
He doesn't want it.
I think Jamie's point is it's fine if he doesn't want it. But since he's theoretically the heir to the throne, that makes him automatically king. And I don't know, Jamie. I think the answer to your question, by the way, is that the Unsullied and the Dothraki army equated to the same volume as the kingdoms because of how the armies have been depleted. And I think this was a standoff where the Unsullied didn't want to let him go unless they felt that it was justice was compromised. Do you know what I mean? That justice was served.
They basically kept him as a hostage, as a negotiating piece.
That's what it felt like, because it wasn't.
I'll take that.
Because it wasn't until Grey Worm felt satisfied that they let him go.
And again, Fury, you can keep yelling at me, I keep beating on the same drum that you've accepted it. This is all the stuff we used to see happen, and we didn't get to see it this time. You guys brought up at the beginning all the Dothraki. I still think it would have been an amazing scene to see Targaryen ships coming into port with Dothraki on them. Basically saying that, oh yeah, you know what? There were more back there. You know, assuming she probably left guards here and there with all the places she liberated.
Well, yeah. I mean, it all would have been awesome to see. Like, there's a ton of shit that would have been awesome to see over the last two and a half seasons.
But why do you get so pissed at me when I say I didn't love this season because I felt everything was rushed, including Dany's heel turn, and I wish there could have been more time.
Because her heel turn is the one thing I'm very specific about. It was not rushed. You can talk about other things being rushed, and I'll say, okay, sure, depending on what it is, we have a discussion. Her heel turn has literally been hinted and pushed since the very beginning of her existence. It's not like it was rushed or just happened this season. And again, I'll go back to when I was texting you like 2 weeks into the season saying that she was like a heel. She was a heel. She was a heel. And you guys, so you can say it, I'm not trolling you or anything along those lines. It's all there. I was saying it forever this whole season. And you especially were arguing with me. No, she's not. How do you say that? How do you say that? I'm like, it's right there.
And then the scene got brighter. yes, I think it's safe to say that there's not going to be an agreement here on where the Dany story arc. Clearly the Dany story arc has just been a hot ticket across the board. But not to put this into cruise control.
Well, but back to what else you said, like everything got tied up in a pretty little bow. I think yes and no. It's one of those things because, you know, the world goes on. I don't necessarily think it's a pretty little bow. Everything else is going to keep continuing. Like, I want to watch more. I want to see what it's like now. You know, I want to watch more of that small council. I want to see what Bran does. I want to follow Arya out to, you know, off the map. I want to see what happens with the North. I want to see all of it. Like, I guess the show has essentially always been about the Starks. So that was the, you know, the big things at the end there. And I guess you wanted to kind of wrap their stories up as best you could. But because the world keeps going and going, like, who knows what else could possibly happen going forward. So it's not necessarily in a pretty little bow, but I guess there are some of the happier endings than maybe you expected for the Starks.
So here's I have a question, though. So it's Bran. Sure. It's Bran's first day on the job as the new king, right?
Yep.
And well, we don't necessarily know that, but okay.
But let's assume. Let's pretend it's his first day, and he's like, "All right, you know what? Take me up to the throne room so I can see what happened." And he gets there, and there are all those steps. Like, how do they have to bring him up backwards all the way up in his little wheelchair? How does that work?
They're installing ramps.
That's what I was going to say. Forget about brothels and ships. Wouldn't like the first major purchase be a lot of handicap ramps in King's Landing?
Most likely.
Maybe he's just sliding down the railings.
Whee! they basically build like pulleys and chutes for him. They just keep...
Oh my god.
Awful. Brandon.
I'm mad that we never got the finish to that joke Tyrion like started like four times throughout the show.
The donkey and the honeycomb?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to know, like, what was it? oh my god. The council, by the way. Tremendous council. One piece that we glazed over was the Brienne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Writing in the book, and to me that, like, and I'm sure everybody felt the same way, that looked like a real solid moment where she wrote the best for Jaime even after he broke her heart. I thought it was a really solid scene that didn't need to be there, but I'm glad they put it in.
Again,
no, it was
a pretty little bow.
Great, and it was a callback to earlier in the show when Joffrey at one point in time sees there was like almost next to nothing written about Jaime in that book, and he like makes fun of him like when Joffrey was the king, because it has like the three sentences or whatever that was there before Brienne started writing, and like Joffrey like was like giving Jaime shit, like making fun of him about it. So it was definitely like a good callback and an awesome moment for the character Jaime.
And so within this council, we got a very cheesy joke, and I love good cheesy jokes, but I didn't think it needed to be here this close to the finish of the episode. It was when Sam showed Tyrion the book, and he goes, "I even named the title myself," and it mirrored the title of the actual book.
I was so close to my big prediction.
You were.
I was so close to my big prediction.
You were almost, yeah, but then you were pretty close also to the when I texted you, said, yeah, give me a last minute wild prediction.
My wild prediction was I was pretty spot on that one.
Yeah.
So Jon Snow goes north. Now, does that mean that he just bailed again on his job? Is that the idea?
What are they gonna do? Like, what more can they do to punish this dude?
The Night's Watch doesn't really, like, one, why or how does it exist?
Right.
Two, I don't think anybody's up at the walls to begin with right now. Three, what are they supposed to be doing, considering all the White Walkers and Night King are now dead?
Yeah, it's a really good question. My concern, Jamie, with the end of this episode, by the way, was, and again, I don't want to keep going off the books, but the books is what made this show. I'm curious to see how Martin finishes these out, because watching all of this, all in my head, all I kept watching this thinking, Arya going out west is a spinoff show. Sansa leading the north is a spinoff show. Jon out north is a spinoff show. I didn't know if this was the genuine endings or if this literally was to plant seeds for possibilities of single season one-offs.
Dany getting resurrected in the fire, spinoff show.
But you know what I mean? It had that feel that let's leave it wide open.
I think it was a weird ending. Unlike Fury, I was kind of, I had a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth going into it. Because a lot of things that led up to it, I didn't love this last season. Not like some people who are just going absolute banana. No, I didn't sign the petition to get it changed. It is what it is. But
you can't sign it if you start it.
You know, it was you're the first signature if you start it. But you know, like I said, it was a little bit too wrapped up in a pretty little bow. And like you said, a little open ended with how they did it, with Arya sailing off into the sunset and Jon wandering off into the north and Sansa sitting on the throne.
Which was a great scene, by the way.
Yeah, that was a great scene. One thing, whether or not I like the plot and the logic and some of the stuff that happened, like the look of this episode was amazing. Like was we awesome. Said, from Dany's entrance to the dragon under the snow to even like when we talk about building tension, Jon's walk up those steps to get to her was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and like the end, Sansa sitting on the throne. There was a lot of like stuff cinematography.
How awesome was her crown, by the way?
Very cool crown.
It was awesome.
The direwolves.
So, Jamie, I'll
speaking
ask you.
Speaking of wolves,
this.
Everybody got excited. They got to see Ghost again.
Ghost and was there. John petted him this time, the big douche.
great cameo there. So, Jamie, now that Game of Thrones is done, if you could have fantasy booked any different finish, what would you have done?
I would have changed the finish. I would have added time in between.
Okay, so
what we saw last week.
Same finish.
I would have been fine, like even up to Dany dying. And then I assume somewhere along the way I probably would have killed off a couple more little minor characters, but I'm fine with the finish. You know, Fury said it. Bran makes sense based on who was there in the story they told. Sansa keeping the North independent makes sense. Arya kind of going off. It all makes sense. I just wish we had more time from the burning of King's Landing to see Dany as the tyrant. Because I just think it would have been awesome to watch. So that would be my only change.
Fantasy booking, if you were to keep this finish, or was there anything you would have changed?
I don't know. I'm fine with the finish. I enjoy the finish. Like, I don't know. it's one of those things, you have all these wild fantasies in your head of what you think and what you like and what you want, but I'm never, if I don't like something, obviously I'll tell you, like, I don't like something. I thought it was done well. I thought it was good. Along the lines of what Jamie's saying, I would like to see more. I'm happy that Danny didn't actually get to get on the throne and be that tyrant. So in that sense, I'm good. I would, you know, they could have had 2 10-episode seasons. They didn't need to do a 7 and a 6. And I think just that much more would have made it that much better.
And so I had gone through social media. I had gone through a bunch of message boards. I wanted to see kind of like what the internet was feeding about. I pulled two tweets in particular, one that made me laugh with how uncomfortably ridiculous people are, and then a fantasy ending that I was like, that'd be different. So one of the jokes online was, it says, Bran's ending makes sense. There's nothing more accurate than the son of a powerful leader doing absolutely nothing and still getting the job. Hashtag GOT. And one of the fantasy endings that was written that I thought would be really neat if there was more seasons to come, if there was a movie-esque type, we've got future shows in the works, is here's how GOT should have ended. Dany is queen. Jon Snow exiled to Castle Black. Sansa and Arya disagree and go back north. The ending, Jon Snow asleep in his bed at Castle Black, gets stabbed by the Children of the Forest, turns into a White Walker, cycle continues. So I thought that was the most outlandish out of everything I had seen, so to speak.
Now, Slade, before we wrap up, because I know we're getting tight on time now, I do have one question for the Pops Pop quiz for you. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Emilia Clarke, who played Daenerys Targaryen, revealed that she was nervous that what music megastar was going to be disappointed with the fate of her character on the show?
Please tell me it was Beyonce.
It was Beyonce. Congratulations, Scotty Slade.
Thank you. But also one more question. That makes me so happy. One more question for you guys. I looked online and I thought there'd be more, but there actually wasn't. Was there any unanswered questions you guys had? Like, season's over. Was there anything that you felt was just left open that you didn't get closure to?
Not like a specific question. Like I keep saying, I think there were a lot of little gaps. Like, why the big deal about him being the Targaryen? We never really got an answer on, you know, the whole three-eyed raven and all that. I don't know.
The biggest thing that's popped up online is what happened with House Reed, which is the two kids that kind of helped Bran along the way get to this point and never really reappeared.
Drogon ate them.
Okay.
He was their mid-afternoon. They were his mid-afternoon snack.
That was the only standing out piece. Didn't know what Varys started to write and semi-burn and close off into the that jar. We don't know what he did there.
Did you guys pick up? And I read this after the fact because it was. I remember in episode 5, though, my audio levels were really quiet at first. Did you guys pick up on the fact that he was trying to poison Daenerys?
What? I did. Yeah, I saw something. I watched it again, and actually I saw part of the script for that online. Nikki had found something and shown me. He tells the girl, what? Oh, the girl said she's not eating. Oh, we'll try again at supper.
But the guards are watching me.
Yeah, the guards are watching me, and he's like, well, that's their job.
Right, and if you want a big risk, big reward type thing, yeah.
So that was the one piece I thought Game of Thrones did really well, even with us just kind of...
So really, all she did in that episode was execute somebody who was attempting to murder her.
Yes.
Justified.
See, it all makes sense.
Justified.
Well, thank
Game
you,
Game of Thrones... I see this article real quick. Game of Thrones series finale scored a ratings record for HBO. An audience of 19.3 million viewers watched Sunday's series finale of Game of Thrones across HBO's various platforms.
At least it did better than Seinfeld, right, Jamie?
I don't hate Seinfeld.
I can't wait till we get Brian Malonis on the show, just so I can randomly bring that up.
So are we excited for the spinoff shows?
So
there's 4 total in, like, and I think one is like filming right now.
The long night. Correct? Is that what it's called? Is that the proper
honestly,
title?
I don't know the names of them. I just saw something real quick that there's like 4 of them.
Yeah,
in the works.
One of them's The Long Night. The other one is the, oh my goodness, the one of the wars, and I can't think of it. Now I feel silly. But yes, I would imagine that the spin-offs have different directors, so it's going to be interesting to see if this is just a cash grab or if this is really going to carry some weight.
Speaking of spin-offs, is Jamie excited for the new Star Wars movies that are going to be directed by the guys that wrote these?
I actually really am, because I bet what's going to happen is the first two are going to be awesome. First half of the third will be great, and then your favorite hero will just randomly turn heel, blow up a planet, and then they'll go home.
Well, that's what happened. That's what Anakin Skywalker did.
What? Shut up, Slade.
Got him. That was a long con setup, and I got him.
Really? What you're comparing this to is the Star Wars prequels.
I'm just saying, Anakin's...
The worst Star Wars movies ever made, and I'm done. Good night. Say goodbye. I'm out.
Well, on that
I'm flying off like Drogon. You're never going to see me again. Unless Bran somehow... I can find him. Go F yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Brand as Jamie goes and organs into something to kind of ease his worries. Brian, thank you for coming on. I'm glad it didn't get too heated at times, but then again, that's what happens when two people feel so enthusiastically dedicated to a single queen. Jamie, any last words?
No, but I'll be back this Friday right here on the For the Pops Network with Let the Chaos Begin. And we'll be back in just under 2 weeks with another episode of For the Pops.
Amazing. Brian, thank you again. For Jamie J. Mikowski, I am Scotty Slade. You have been listening to For the Pops, episode 38.5.
We can hold them off.